simple racism as such as staring at people who speak Spanish in public to verbally insulting them. It's so bizarre for me to imagine happening in our community. If they do take her, I can't do much about it.
Welcome to today's episode. Let's talk about immigration, specifically the reality for those coming here without proper documentation. Joining us today is Emily, who will be sharing the personal story of what her mother, who has been living here illegally for over 20 years, has endured. While Emily and I may not see eye to eye politically, I believe we can have a respectful and meaningful conversation where we can learn from each other's perspectives. I believe in compassion. Every person deserves dignity and a fair shot at a better life. But compassion isn't just about letting people in, it's about giving them the tools to succeed. For years, we allowed large numbers of undocumented immigrants into the country without a clear path to legal status. And that's not compassion, that's exploitation. These individuals, many hardworking, good-hearted, are being forced into low-wage, dangerous jobs with no protections, setting them up for failure. I'm not advocating for closed borders, but we must open them responsibly. We need real solutions that create a clear path, that respect the rule of law, and give immigrants a chance to contribute and thrive. The last 4 years have created a broken system, but closing the border is a good first start. It will take time to fix, but it's a step in the right direction. Let's focus on smart immigration policy that balances compassion and practicality. Hi, Emily. How are you?
Hi, I'm good.
We should probably mention that we know Emily really, really well.
Yeah. Yes.
Emily has worked at our cafe, and she has been such a blessing to us. Mm-hmm. She has very frequently helped us with the Republican events that we host regularly. She has served fried fish and meatloaf and chicken and dumplings all over Franklin County.
Yeah, she has.
In the name of politics, even though she doesn't always agree with the Republicans.
No.
She's been a good sport. Yeah.
She has. And particularly for me at lunch when I call over to the cafe. She makes a salad for me, which, by the way,
I still remember how to make it.
There we go.
The Brian salad. Yeah. What you put on the menu, the Brian?
Right.
The Brian.
It's kind of lame, actually.
It is. It's pretty plain. No, it's pretty straightforward. But, yeah. You know, I'm not exciting that way. But
the day after the election, you were at work and you were really quiet. And I just assumed, I was on cloud nine, so I just assumed that you had stayed up late watching the election coverage and watched Donald Trump win, and you were just a little, you know, groggy or cranky. But the next day, you resigned from Cafe Bloom and said that you wanted to spend time with your family because you were very concerned that they might be deported.
Yes, and I, as of the, like, recently, I feel like that's really could be a possibility with ICE being so close to home. And it really affects how my family has changed our routine, how we go about things, and to the point that my mom doesn't even come around Carbondale anymore. And that used to be a common thing for her to do because we got the Mexican grocery store here, plenty of resources for us to go to, but we don't feel safe in that environment anymore.
So one of the reasons you don't feel safe going to Carbondale, which is a small town in southern Illinois, is because there's a website where you guys are sort of, your community is sort of keeping track of ICE, right?
Yes, it is a website, and it's more so we can report when we do see ICE in the area, and it will show within like a radius of like how far away they are and how close they are to you, and it's a very helpful resource for us.
And now for you personally, though, you're an American citizen,
yes.
right? You were born here.
Yes.
Okay, so it's your mother who came over here. Now, how long has it been?
More than 25 years.
Okay.
More than 25 years.
I met your mom at our Mother's Day tea. Mm-hmm. She doesn't speak English.
Not
but
very
she's
much.
Very sweet.
She is.
Yeah.
A lot of people love her, especially where she works. We have people who ask to see her, who want her to serve them. You know, a lot of people also love her.
And
she's very sweet.
She entered this country by crossing a river with her belongings over the top of her head, right?
Yes.
I think I remember you saying that.
Mm-hmm. And it was a very long process for her. They had to be escorted by two men. And during that time, she said that she was crossing the border with a family friend who was 19 and she was around 25. The men told them to take off their clothes and, you know, to keep their belongings dry, you know, their clothes dry, so when they get out of the river, they'll be fine. But they kept on their underwear. The men who were escorting them went naked and were trying to molest them the whole way across the river. And my mom felt an obligation to take care of this younger woman. So this younger woman, significantly shorter than her, my mom's not even tall. She's like 5'3", hardly like sinking down into the river. And the younger woman's holding onto her shoulder and she's trying to like keep her up while also making sure these men don't rape them. Point blank period. That's a possibility that could have happened.
So this past weekend, you want to tell them about the sheriff that we met?
Yeah. So we were at an event and mm-hmm. Sheriff Lamb is his name. And he's a sheriff down in a county in Arizona. And between mm-hmm. he and the border is just a Native American reservation.
Yeah.
And then it's his county. So it's a massive county. They have a lot of immigration. And his problem with what's gone on the last 4 years, in essence, was that it's a disservice to the individuals coming over here mm-hmm. because they believe, you know, oh, well, this is going to be great. Things are going to be wonderful. But then they get here and they're being victimized, they're mm-hmm. being exploited. And he said, you know, it's not compassion what's going on it with these not. People.
So one of the women that he was telling us about had a baggie of pills. Mm-hmm. And he asked her, he said, what are these pills? And she said, oh, well, that's the morning after pill mm-hmm. that we hear when we try to start a new life that we might get raped along the way.
Yeah, and that was a very real possibility. And I asked my mom about it, and she said it was a very common thing to happen, and that was something she was genuinely worried about when she was crossing.
And for her, has she ever told you why she came? I mean, this is a dangerous trip. She's by herself. She's mm-hmm. a 25-year-old young woman. I mean,
she had a child. She had a child that she had to leave behind temporarily. My brother. And he, my mother, she was trying, the reason she moved to the U.S. is because my brother's father was domestically abusing her severely. It was a very bad case of domestic abuse. And no matter where my mother went, he would follow her. No, she even temporarily was like almost a sugar baby, and he still knew where she was. And she had no safety.
So for those who don't know, sugar baby is a woman who develops a friendship with a man for the purpose of them taking care of them.
Yes.
Okay.
She ultimately never went through doing it, but, you know, that's just to say, like, the extremes she went to get away from this man and also the hardships that were going around where she lived at the time.
And for her, you know, crossing a river alone, risking, you know, being raped, risking being killed, dying, mm-hmm. trying to get in here, all of that was worth it for the chance at having
she
a better
said,
life?
Yes. She said, if she were to do this all over again, she absolutely 100% would. Because she feels that if she stayed in Mexico, she could have died.
Okay.
And your mom considers herself an American.
She does. Her whole life, like a whole half of her life has been in America. And who is anyone to say that she isn't American if she went through what many Americans did hundreds of years ago, immigrating here? Like, who's to say she is an American if that's not what our founding fathers did at some point?
So your mom's in the process of trying to become a citizen. Mm-hmm. What is the holdup? Like, what is so hard about it? What is her hurdle that she has to overcome to get that done?
Number one, money. She has spent over $8,000 on just a lawyer, and not even counting all the immigration papers she has applied for. She has to pay for those too. And none of them have worked out. And my mother, she has no criminal record. She is a very clean person. She doesn't even drink. And, you know, why can't someone like her come through, you know, and become a citizen? And that reason is because I feel like the naturalization system is extremely broken. And that is something that definitely needs to be changed for the betterment of, you know, anyone who are wanting to come here and change their life.
So you mentioned financial struggles. Mm-hmm. What sort of obstacles has your mom faced trying to, you know, integrate into a society where she doesn't even have a social security number?
Yeah, she doesn't have a social security number. She can't get a loan from a house. She can't. Our interest rate for our car that I co-signed for is 12%. And that is quite a lot. And that is because my mom also doesn't have a credit score. She doesn't have a Social Security. She doesn't have any other resources to honestly really thrive in America. She doesn't have any of those resources. And she could never really claim me as a dependent either because she would have received nothing. She would have received nothing for me.
So as you look at this, though, and you see what's gone on the last 4 years, mm-hmm. and you see, you know, possibly somewhere between 8, 10, 12 million people flood into the United States just recently. When you look at that and you look at them and there's talk of certain political sides, usually the mm-hmm. Democrats saying, well, we need to make them citizens or we need to do this or we need mm-hmm. to do that, particularly here in Illinois with J.B. Pritzker.
Yeah.
How do you view that, though, those people? Your mom's been here for 25 years trying mm-hmm. to become a citizen. Do you think these people should move ahead of her? Do you think they should be behind her? How do you view them, all these people who have flooded in?
I feel like everyone should have to go through the naturalization process, but I think it's just a matter of people who, how do I say this? They need to learn how that process goes, because that, I think that would really determine where these people come in, and that what you were saying, that if they go first, they go last. My mom personally thinks that she should just be right in the middle and along with every other person. Every other human being who comes in through, she thinks that she should be in the middle, not in the front, not in the back, that everyone's equal.
Okay. But I mean, for her, it's been a long process and it's so expensive, mm-hmm. the naturalization process. For her, it's just been a stumbling block that she's tried to do basically for the last 20, 25 years.
Yeah. It literally has been so long. And at some point she could have gotten her citizenship, but the tiniest little mistake was spotted on her paper. And if she had gone to Mexico to do, because what she would have to do, she would have had to move back in from Mexico to here and do it legally.
Right.
That's what was supposed to happen. But with that tiny little mistake, she could have stayed in Mexico for the rest of her life. And it's just, it's not even just like the money, it's the risk of it even working. Because she was giving a 75% chance of even coming in.
So for her, in order, the naturalization process currently would require her to leave the United States, go outside the country, and then apply to come back in at that point.
That is one of them. That is a way to do it. I'm not sure of all the other ways exactly, but that is the most recent one that we have tried.
Okay.
And then we also tried doing the application for Joe Biden's recent, I don't know what it's called, but it was something.
It was before Trump was elected.
Yeah, before Trump was elected.
It was a big push to try to get
a
bunch of people through.
Yeah, and it was for mixed status families. So my family could have qualified for it, but ultimately it never went through.
It didn't get through?
It didn't get through.
Okay. And so once again, some promises were made under the Biden administration. Hey, if you're a mixed family, you apply. We're going to get you citizenship because, you know, you have a child that's American citizen. Mm-hmm. But they didn't have the resources, or there just wasn't. It just didn't follow through.
I think it just, I like a good mixture of both of them, I think.
Okay.
Like, I'm not for sure what exactly went through.
So right now, your mom is nervous. Has she changed any of her habits or anything?
Yes.
With, you know, all this is a hot button issue, right?
Yeah. She no longer works in the mornings. She works at night because she lives in fear that ICE could come into her workplace and deport her. And as of recently, she's been kind of taking it lighthearted, joking that she's just going to bring a luggage bag with her to work now. But, you know, deep down, that's probably how she actually feels.
Okay.
Like it's a matter of time.
Yeah, it's a matter of time, anytime. And I've also personally come to that conclusion that if they do take her, I can't do much about it. So I just kind of have to deal with that reality, if that makes sense.
Sure. But for her, she doesn't have a criminal history. She's not committed any crimes. I'm assuming that your mom's not a member of any gang or anything.
No, I hope not.
But it's to the point where you were telling me that they're afraid to speak Spanish at the grocery store.
Yes.
Because someone like
we get
basically
a lot of
verbally
looks.
Attacked them, right?
Yes. Somebody we know had gone to Walmart to send money to his son in Mexico. And she called him something very unkind, is what I can say. And you know, that left such an impact on him. When I saw him the next day at work, that was the first thing he told me. And, you know, it in our community is so small, just to know that simple racism, such as staring at people who speak Spanish in public, to verbally insulting them, it's so bizarre for me to imagine happening in our community. And because it has never happened before, I feel like it has happened, but I've never experienced it personally at such a deep level.
And for you, you were born here in the States. You're mm-hmm. a citizen. So you went to the local public school, I assume?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. And as you went through, and for the people who don't know, I mean, we're in a rural area of Southern mm-hmm. Illinois. And in that area, in the public school, have you ever seen anything other? Have you had any problems at all?
Honestly, no. The most I've ever had was people making fun of my last name. But that was it. No one has ever really bullied me for being Hispanic. But I've noticed a huge shift within the last year.
So we tried to have a conversation one night at dinner with our kids mm-hmm. about this issue and just kind of see how they feel about it. Mm-hmm. And it got so heated.
It did.
One of our children left the table. We had to bring them all back together and say, hey, you know, just because you don't agree doesn't mean you can't have a respectful conversation yeah. about an issue. And so I think that was kind of interesting, that I think that's where a lot of people are at with this issue. There's so many emotions.
There is.
Right? Like earlier you said someone was sending money back to their family. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming in Mexico.
Yeah.
Okay. So some people really dislike that people are working in our economy, but mm-hmm. then they're taking the money and they're sending it to another country.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
Well, I actually discussed this with my mother. She says that it's just not enough money in Mexico to even support yourself living in Mexico. That's also a big reason why she came to the United States, so she can support her family in Mexico, because there's just, it's not enough of a profit to live sustainably.
And it has to be, you know, for you, the fear, I mean, this is your mom, you know, she's yeah. been, and you know, she's been here for so long, but I do think it's kind of unique that she views herself, I mean, she views herself as an American. If you asked her, she'd say, I'm an American.
She would, but she still has a lot of pride for her home country. Like, she loves it. It's where she grew up. She remembers the mountains, the culture, but she would identify as an American now for living here for so long. But she still holds a love for Mexico, if okay. that makes sense.
How does your family feel about all of the people being bused into Illinois being, you know, a sanctuary city? Mm-hmm. Do they feel like these people are causing them grief? I mean, your family was living a comfortable, quiet, peaceful life until all of this blew up all over the news. Mm-hmm. You know, does your family feel any animosity toward these people who are kind of flooding in, drawing attention?
Mm-hmm. Honestly, I think my father has, and my father is a U.S. citizen. He does feel a little hostile towards other people who come in, but over the recent years, he has really become more humane in his way of thinking. I also feel this way. I feel like at the end of the day, they're human beings. They're just like my mother. They're escaping from something that's happening. And there's a lot going on in Venezuela. There's a lot going on in Guatemala. And it's not safe for them. And they're most likely trying to escape from something terrible.
And your dad is the one who, for lack of a better term, brought your brother over the border illegally mm-hmm. for your mom, right?
Yes.
Okay, because they were together in Mexico, and then they kind of came up with this plan to sneak your mm-hmm. brother over the border. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so my grandmother brought my older brother to the border, and that's when my dad picked him up from a car, I believe, and then they went on an auto bus, and that's when they went to Laredo, Texas.
Okay.
And it was just they didn't ask very many questions because my dad was a citizen. He is a citizen. And you know, my brother was 6 years old at the time. So they were able to cross through completely safe.
They just told him to pretend he was asleep and
yeah.
you know, mm-hmm. not answer any questions, right?
Yeah.
So But you do believe that certain people should be deported, right?
If you've done a terrible crime, like, I would want to say, like, murder or even, like, maybe, or, like, maybe a little less extreme than murder, but, like, something violent, something harmful, then I feel like you should be deported. Like, if you got, like, a speeding ticket, I don't think that's bias. Like, that's a basis to be deported. If you murdered someone, yeah, I think you should be deported, because that's not a very kind thing to do, for lack of a better word.
Right.
Well, I mean, and you have people who came here for the wrong reasons. I mean, there's people who are trafficking drugs. There's people who are trafficking human beings. Mm-hmm. I mean, you would agree. And yes, in your community, your mom and other people, I mean, do they agree, hey, these people should be deported?
Yes. And I think so. My mother also agrees with that. I feel like if you're bringing in drugs, if you're bringing in, like, you know, anything, like, you know, illegal, or doing anything illegal, I feel like as we punish our American citizens, I feel like that should also be for non-American citizens, if that makes sense.
It does. And you know, when you think about it, and here recently the governor of Illinois, J.B. Pritzker, has really kind of antagonized, for lack of a better word, ICE, the president of the United States. And we've all watched as that's brought, you know, a lot of attention to Illinois and Chicago. Mm-hmm. For your mom and other people in the community who have been living here for, you know, 20, 25 years, peacefully, quietly, you're going to school, people like you, you know, and now to see him in antagonizing this way and bringing all this attention, what do you think about it? What does your mom think about it?
Do you feel like he's standing up for you, or do you agree with Brian that he's antagonizing Trump and using Mexicans as human bait?
Yeah, and this is a really good question, because I have mixed feelings about it. Okay. I'm sure my mother also has mixed feelings about it. But I feel like we are being targeted. Illinois is being targeted for, you know, these ICE raids and stuff. And I feel like that is because of J.B. Pritzker talking about it and, you know, making Illinois a sanctuary state. But we've benefited from J.B. Pritzker quite a bit. And that has also been what made our life comfortable living here in Illinois.
How so?
Well, one, I know that if we were to go to another state and my mom gets pulled over, she is legally protected under the state of Illinois to not get deported. See, that is something that has been a great...
That gives you comfort.
Great comfort. Great, great comfort. And so that's why I have mixed feelings about it. I feel like because of all the benefits that we've had in Illinois as a sanctuary state, is why we're being targeted, because we are so big on helping immigrants here. So it's I have very mixed feelings about it, because I have experienced the benefits, but I have also experienced the worst of it. So it's just a very hard line, and it's blurred at this point.
And you know, for a lot of people, when you look at this, you look at the border and say, look, you know, every country has to have a border. They have to they have to defend that border. You can't just have a flood of people coming in. And, you know, for me, when I look at this and I see these people coming in, they get bussed into Illinois, and you know, and J.B. Pritzker and lots of people in the Democrat Party are pushing this and saying that they're being so compassionate. But when they get here, I mean, these people are on the fringes of society, are they not?
Yeah, it's very hard to even start working once you get here. But I feel like a lot of people have somehow made it to live in a good, you know, state. You
know? Sure, your mom's making the best of it and has for many years. But, you know, there's so many people in now. You know, you're talking, you know, up to 1 million people here.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's not going to be enough jobs, those type of jobs, because they're going to be getting exploited by, you know, unscrupulous employers who are going to pay them less than minimum wage. Mm-hmm. You know, there's 300,000 children who are unaccounted for. And unfortunately, they're probably being abused or in the sex trade, which, you know, was something your mom was fearful of. And, you know, while people keep speaking of, oh, this is so compassionate, I mean, in viewing it and watching this, I mean, being on the fringe of society, do you feel like that's a good thing, or is it bad?
It's not the greatest. It really isn't. But I, you know, it's just a very hard thing to have to deal with. And
we could do better.
We could do better. But when is it going to get better? I am not sure.
Sure. I mean, and it's a process. And right now, it's become a political question. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's very hard to be the one answering it because I have so many emotions. I have so many feelings. Mexican culture is so, like, we're all about family. We're all about hard work. So you mentioning, people being exploited, getting paid a lower than a minimum wage. Hispanic people will still go for those jobs because they know that's going to be what's going to be the breadwinner for their family. And that's just a sad part of it. But that is really ingrained into our culture.
You know, in all honesty, I look at it and knowing you and knowing, your family some and other people that come from, the Mexican culture. I mean, it is. They're all about family. They're all about hard work. And so from that instance, you think that's why it's been so easy for your mom to really kind of fit in our community? I mean, we're in this rural community that is, kind of a tight-knit community. Do you think that's part of why? Just the culture?
Yeah, I think so. And like I said, everyone loves my mom. They love her. I think it just really helps other people who are aware of the culture to really get to know her too, because she is a hard worker. She works over 40 hours a week. She makes enough for her home. My dad, who is sickly, and her family back at Mexico, and she's able to pay for all of that and also to be able to go out and have a good time. But, and I feel like that's really like the American dream, to be able to afford a good house, be able to afford food, be able to afford going out, and, also help your family members. And I feel like that's why so many people come to America, because it's just, literally the land of opportunity.
And for you, do you feel like, as an American citizen, your mom sacrificed and do that? Do you feel a little obligation to really succeed because of her? Or how do you view that?
Yes, I do. I really want to succeed. And I out of anybody in the world, I would want to make my mom proud. Yeah. She is my mom, and she's gone through so many hardships in her life. The least I can do is make her proud.
And I think you're doing that. So
thank you.
That's great.
Emily, you've been a blessing to us for a number of years. And one of my favorite memories is making chicken and dumplings with you for political events. So I made you some to take home and share with your family.
Thank you.
They will need some broth on there, though.
That's okay. I know how to take care of chicken and dumplings now. So.
Yeah, you sure do. Yeah, we taught you that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks a lot for coming in. And I know it's so emotional and it's personal to you. And I just really appreciate you coming in and talking about it. Because I think the more people talk about it, the more they'll understand that, these are real people.
Yeah.
These aren't just issues.
We have more in common
yeah.
than we disagree on, actually.
Yeah.
We do. Well, thanks again. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.